Hi, everybody, and welcome to the FNS Wrestling Podcast. I am your host, back with another bonus episode and yet another solo mission, as my son Jackson does not watch the product that I'm about to talk about right now, and that was Impact Wrestling Sacrifice pay-per-view special. I'm not sure what they're calling it from last night. I did check out everything last night except for the opener, which I missed, and I went back and sort of caught up with that one this morning. And somehow everybody is out of my house, so I thought I would head down to this little studio, my new favorite room in this house, as it sort of starts to take shape, and talk into a microphone about Impact Wrestling Sacrifice for you guys. Just sort of summarize the matches, give you my thoughts quickly on it. I don't think it'll run too long, so thanks for joining me. If you've never listened to us before, it's usually myself and my teenage son Jackson. We get together every Saturday afternoon and talk about the week of wrestling for a couple hours. We cover in-depth AEW Dynamite, NXT, we look at Impact, we look at ROH, he does some trivia, he updates us on the world of wrestling action figures, all on our flagship show on Saturdays, and then any other time we have the time and inclination, we kind of sit down together, or on a solo mission as I am today, and talk about other things from the world of wrestling. So, that being said, welcome if you're a new listener, welcome back if you're not. If you'd like to contact myself or my son with some positive feedback, some negative feedback, any kind of feedback, suggestions, praise, criticisms, whatever you want, you can reach me at fnswrestling@gmail.com, and that will come to me, or fns_wrestling_podcast. That is our Instagram account, and that one is looked at by my son, although he'll show me anything that comes through there, so we'd love to hear from anybody if you get the chance. That being said, I think it's time we should get into our feature of this review, and that is Impact Wrestling Sacrifice. So the opener to this show featured Decay, which is Black Taurus and Crazy Steve, with obviously accompanied by Rosemary, versus Reno Scum, which is Lester the Legend and Adam Thornstow. Actually, I was a little bit pleasantly surprised by this match. There was some pretty good action during this. Black Taurus continues to impress me. Other than Lester the Legend, and it was actually funny, as at one point, I think it was Matt Stryker even commented, right? And the pace just screeches to a halt when Lester enters the ring, which is, I know it was just an observation by him, but for me, it's more of a criticism. I'm not a huge fan of watching Lester, although he wasn't horrible in this. So basically, in the ring, we get Rosemary right near the finish here, ends up spraying mist into the eyes of Lester. Actually, it was kind of gross because a lot of it went into his mouth. It looked like he had his mouth open when she did it and caught him a little bit low. It looked like a bunch went in his mouth. I can't imagine that was pleasant. But anyways, back in the ring, Black Taurus takes the opportunity to perform his like spinning, some sort of driver type finisher that looks really cool on Adam Thornstow for the win. So it was a 8-minute match. I thought it was a decent little opener for an Impact show. Pretty fast-paced action. Most of these guys can work. Crazy Steve is really impressive considering he is, in fact, legally blind wrestling. And again, I think Adam Thornstow is pretty good, but the result wasn't surprising, right? Reno Scum are essentially an enhancement team at this point, and there has been some focus on Decay, especially with the addition of Black Taurus, who continues to look really cool. So all in all, I thought this was a decent little opener to the show. Then we sort of took a step back, in my opinion, or a couple, as the next match was Havoc and Nevaeh versus Tennille Dashwood and Caleb with a K. This was essentially felt like many minutes of Caleb just trying to not perform any offense on the ladies, and just sort of, it didn't really work for me. I did not enjoy this match. Basically, the finish sort of came when Nevaeh looked like she has Dashwood pinned, but Caleb, of course, pushes her over and sort of reverses the pinfall. So Dashwood ends up on top and getting the pinfall here. There was, as usual, because Tennille's gimmick is that her character is that she is a YouTube influencer or internet influencer, whatever, social media influencer. There was one, of course, spot where she has somebody tied up in the ropes and Caleb grabs the phone, which was right in the corner of the ring, and starts taking pictures of it. But again, this did not feel like it needed to be on any sort of special or a pay-per-view. This could easily have been done on TV. It wouldn't even be a good TV match, in my opinion. So this I did not enjoy. So we'll move on. We get Chris Sabin and James Storm, who I call Beer Gun, with Jake something accompanying them. facing Violent by Design, which is going to be Joe Doering and Diener. And of course, they have Eric Young with them. So this was, I didn't mind this match either. Doering is really a big guy. So he was the Hoss doing some power moves in there. Chris Sabin and James Storm really do work together. They developed a whole bunch of combo moves for their offense that actually looks really good. And then basically, of course, Eric Young's trying to get involved. Jake something sort of tries to take him out. There's a ref bump at some point, so he's out for quite a while. Young gets in the ring during this referee being out, and he's getting ready to hit a pile driver to Sabin. But Jake something runs in, takes out Eric Young with the clothesline. And then a little bit after that, Eric Young does hit a neck breaker to something. I think it was on the floor. So then Rhino comes out. He's been gone for quite a while. And he sort of teases that he's going to go after Eric Young because he was taken out by Violent by Design. That is the story. But surprise, surprise, we get a swerve. And instead, he turns and spears Chris Sabin, which then, of course, the referee conveniently is back. And it leads to Diener pinning Chris Sabin for the win. Again, this was a solid match. It wasn't anything spectacular. But I think Storm and Sabin work really well together. I don't know where Alex Shelley is or what his story is. But in the meantime, these guys have been a pretty entertaining tag team, in my opinion. Violent by Design, I generally like what they've been doing. I'm not sure how I feel about Rhino joining unless he's willing to change his gimmick and appearance, sort of like Diener did, because it's just Rhino doing the same thing he's always done and just switching from a babyface to a heel. He does still have that cup, I believe, which gives him a chance at a tag team title shot, I think is what it was. So that may come into play as well. I'm open to the idea of Rhino joining this group, but again, I hope it means it's some sort of change for Rhino because he's been very similar for, it feels like, decades now. It might be literally decades now since I was watching him in ECW, where he was awesome, by the way. After that, we basically get a brief interview. I won't cover those too much. It's just Gia talking to Brian Myers backstage. And that leads us into Eddie Edwards versus Brian Myers in what is they're calling a hold harmless match, which I think is similar to like unsanctioned. It's essentially a DQ match, no count out, whatever. So obviously there's lots of weapons. There's fighting on the stage. Hernandez is there and he gets involved at one point because he is on the payroll of Brian Myers. It's they're doing this repeated, I'll give you half the money now, half the money after sort of thing. So Hernandez does get involved and Matt Cardona comes out to sort of take out Hernandez to stop his interference. A little bit later, we get Eddie Edwards performing a backpack stunner off of the apron through a table that was set up at ringside, which kind of looked cool. Back in the ring, he basically, it's this idea that Myers, again, is trying to load his elbow pad because his finisher is a clothesline, which I sort of make fun of a little bit on our program because it's not a devastating clothesline like JBL used to hit or anything. It's a pretty standard looking clothesline. But he has been sort of teasing putting a loaded piece of metal or something in that elbow pad. So anyways, in this match, it's legal, so he goes to do that. But Eddie Edwards ends up taking him out, grabbing the whatever he uses to load his elbow pad, putting it in his knee pad, and hitting the Boston Knee Party with the loaded knee pad to score the win in what was over a 15-minute match, I would say. Actually, this was pretty good. Both of these guys are decent professional wrestlers, or experienced good professional wrestlers even. Sometimes Eddie Edwards does bore me, especially when he gets into a lot of his extreme rules, whatever you want to call it, type of stuff. This was a bit of a combination. I actually thought this was pretty well done. I've enjoyed Myers' heel work lately. I think he's a good fit for this company as well. And even though I'm not the biggest Eddie Edwards fan, he really does bore me a lot of the time. I do have to say that there are some times where he has some good matches. It's not like he isn't a capable performer in the ring, and this was a pretty enjoyable match, actually, better than I was kind of expecting, so I was happy with that. We then move into Knockouts Tag Team Championships, I should say, and that's going to be Fire and Flava, which is Kira Hogan and Tasha Steelz, versus Jordan, Grace, and Jazz for the Knockouts Tag Titles. I am a huge fan of Fire and Flava, mostly just their charisma, their personality, their attitude. In ring, they are pretty good and getting better. I think they're a huge deal. If you listen to our Saturday show, you know I love these two, and I think that they're going to be a big deal. Also, a huge fan of Jordan Grace, not a huge fan of Jazz at this point. she's still solid, but she used to be much better, obviously. She's slowed down a little bit. I haven't enjoyed much of what she's done since she's been back on Impact. But so this match, we're sort of let us know that from here on out, everything's going to be a title match, which is pretty cool, I guess. So there was a point here where I thought Jordynne Grace looked really good off of a hot tag. She just kind of flew around the ring and took people out. She's a very cool combination of speed and power. I think she is pretty fantastic. Late in the match, she ends up receiving a crucifix bomb from Tasha Steelz. And then we get Kiera Hogan basically performs her. She does a fisherman's buster suplex and she picks up the win here. So Hogan and Steelz defend and retain the titles, which is pretty much what I expected. They've just sort of gotten these titles, and I think they're doing a really good job now that they've gotten away from intentionally trying to put them in comedy scenes and just sort of putting them in regular situations and letting their personality show seems to be a much better way to book them. So this match was entertaining. I wouldn't say I loved it, but I was entertained. Tasha and Kiera, their attitude and just the personality is always entertaining. Jordynne Grace is fun to watch. Just the power she can display and the speed when she gets going was really impressive. So a somewhat entertaining match. I think it was about 10 minutes or so. Nothing fantastic, but a solid match in the middle of the show. We then get to one that I was really looking forward to, and that is the X Division Championship match between TJP and Ace Austin, who is accompanied, of course, by Madman Fulton. If you do listen to this show at all, you know I'm a huge Ace Austin fan. My wish would be that he's actually at the top of this company, competing for the championship, the Impact Championship. But in the meantime, I guess, back to the X Division is okay. He is a very, very good performer. TJP, he's great in the ring, incredibly smooth, incredibly experienced, but he bores me in every other capacity pretty much. So I'm hoping going into this that Ace Austin does get the belt, because if he can't be part of the main event, main championship title, then I would like him to have gold here. So we'll see how it goes. This was a pretty enjoyable match. Lots of really good action, as I would expect between this two. We get a Fosbury flop dive over the top rope by TJP. We get a springboard DDT. We get cross body blocks from the ropes. TJP's repeatedly applying his knee bar, right? And Austin's sort of having to get to the ropes. Fulton is getting involved here and there. He tries to push the rope towards Austin at one point, but he gets caught by the referee. Basically, near the end, TJP uses a suplex and then goes up top, but Austin sort of pulls the referee in front of him. And then he kind of does a spin around the referee and kicks TJP. And then shortly after that, he hits his fold, which I think looks pretty cool. And TJP does a good job of selling. And he pins TJP clean just over 12 minutes to win the X Division Championship. I didn't really do it justice. I'm not going into like move for move on this solo mission. I just sort of took very minimal notes because I was just kind of watching the show. While my kids were watching a movie, I was watching it on my iPad, so I didn't really take extensive notes. But this was a very enjoyable match. I figured it would be. I'm really happy to see Ace Austin have the X Division Championship. I would love if they would go to an extended program of him versus Chris Bay after the match they had on Impact this week, which I thought was fantastic. If you haven't checked it out, if you can find it, Chris Bay versus Ace Austin on this past week's Impact television show was excellent match. I know that Bay and Ace Austin are both heels right now, so it doesn't look like they could have a program. But if they could, even though I think those two should be competing for the main championship, in lieu of that, I guess I'll be happy if they could have some sort of involvement at this level as well. But a very entertaining match. I'm glad it's off of TJP because Ace Austin is much more entertaining outside of the ring. So I think that was a smart move to get it onto Ace Austin and let him run with it for quite a while, I hope. We then get Deonna Purrazzo with Kimberly and Susan versus ODB for the Knockouts Championship. This is not a match I was looking forward to. I'm not an ODB fan ever, and especially now. And again, I don't think she quite moves the way she used to. And it's still just kind of the same thing that she's doing that she was doing 10, 15 years ago, whatever it was. So it's not my favorite thing. I'm a huge fan of Deonna Purrazzo. I think she, in ring, is one of the strongest women there are. She's been a champion, had a long run with this championship here, had some great matches with Jordynne Grace in the past. I think she's a great representative as a heel champion for this company. She's just a complete professional wrestler, in my opinion. So anyways, we get into this, and it's a lot of Perrazzo trying to apply her armbar, Fujiwara armbar, which is one of her finishes she uses. And at one point, of course, you've got Kimberly and Susan sort of getting involved. And as ODB gets thrown into the steps, the referee finally ejects them from ringside, and they just kind of are like, not too upset about it because their job's kind of done, because at that point, ODB has just been thrown into the steps and she's lying on the outside, and it looks like Perrazzo definitely has an advantage here. And then we basically, it's interesting because the ref could have disqualified Perrazzo here, but it was similar to an ROH I talked about where the referee is trying to help the babyface challenger, right? Because if they do disqualify Perrazzo, Perrazzo keeps the championship. So it's one of those situations, if you asked ODB, would she want her to be disqualified? She would say no, because it would eliminate her opportunity to win the championship. So the referee uses his discretion, allows the match to continue. So anyways, later on, ODB dives off the middle ropes towards Perrazzo, who catches her in an armbar. And then basically there's a bit of a struggle on the mat, and Perrazzo grabs the other arm to apply the Venus de Milo, which is like a double Fujiwara, I guess. It looks really cool and painful, and ODB does have to submit. So Deonna Perrazzo wins the match. I think it was less than 10 minutes to retain the Knockouts Championship. It wasn't very good, if I'm being honest, but it wasn't very long either. It wasn't bad. I had pretty low expectations going into this, mostly just from ODB's side, if I'm being honest. But it was basically, and I think they said it in the match, Stryker said something about, it's like, would you rather be cut by a scalpel or a rusty screwdriver, right? And that I thought was a pretty nice analogy. You've got Deonna Perrazzo, who is like the scalpel, right? She's precise, she's technical. And then you've got ODB, who is the rusty screwdriver, who's just hitting you with Fez presses and trying to throw you around the ring, essentially. So again, nothing I would go out of my way to see. I wouldn't call it bad, but I didn't really enjoy it either. I was just trying to get through it, honestly, to the next matches. So nothing special here, but it wasn't a horrible match. Then we head into one that I was interested, excuse me, sip of water here. I was interested in seeing, but I wouldn't say I was looking forward to it. I'm just curious to see Finn Juice because I haven't seen Juice Robinson. I used to watch New Japan for a while. I've sort of lapsed in that now. So Juice, he's changed sort of his character and appearance a little bit. Finley, the last time I was watching New Japan, was basically a young boy and wasn't very good. I've been kind of impressed with him. I haven't been impressed with the way Impact has built up these two. I really don't know anything about them. They've been on Impact for weeks now, and other than they came from Japan and they don't get along with the Good Brothers, I know nothing. So I really wish that Impact had done a better job of sort of some vignettes, some interviews, some something where I get a sense of who these guys are so that I care a little bit more going into this. Because I have the feeling coming in that this could be a very good match. I just wish that I was invested in any of the characters here. I am not a Good Brothers fan. That's a well-known fact around these parts, especially it's Doc Gallows. I really just find pretty much everything he does to be obnoxious and annoying. In ring, I find him generally lazy. But anyways, some of his pay-per-view matches, he has stepped it up a notch clearly. And that's kind of what bugs me, is I feel like he's just kind of drifting through, cashing checks, pushing all of his merch, using insider terms, putting nobody over, never losing, never looking bad. But anyways, I've said this 1,000 times. So I was pretty sure that the Good Brothers were going to retain going into this, but I thought there would be a chance that it was a good match. So anyways, once the match starts, you basically have Finley being worked over for quite a while, and then that leads to a hot tag to Juice Robinson and a flurry from him, and then Gallows and Anderson eventually are able to double-team him. Finley breaks up a pin at one point and gets dumped to ringside. Near the end, the Good Brothers are setting up for the Magic Killer, but Finley sort of comes back in the ring at that point to stop them. Finley gets knocked to the floor again by Gallows, and Robinson takes out Gallows, then turns back in right into a spinebuster from Carl Anderson for a near fall. And Anderson's getting frustrated at this point that he can't sort of put him away. Robinson then catches Anderson with a left-handed punch, which is one of his big signatures, as he has a big left hand, and then tags in Finley. A little bit later, the finish comes when the duo actually managed to hit a doomsday device on Anderson, and that leads to Finley getting the pin of Carl Anderson, and Juice Robinson and David Finley, aka Finn Juice, win the Impact Tag Team titles in about a 15-minute match. I'm borderline shocked by the result of this. It's been a running joke on our podcast that the Good Brothers will lose exactly when they decide to lose, and that there's been no, almost no instance of them looking weak since they've joined this company. So I thought there was almost no chance a team coming over from Japan, because I really don't know how long Finjuice are staying, if they're staying. Apparently, it looks like they are. So I was quite surprised, pleasantly surprised by this. It was also a pretty entertaining match, I have to say. I enjoyed it. I don't know if it over-delivered for me. I thought there was a chance it could be a good match. But yes, I thought this was a pretty entertaining match. And again, I'm surprised and pleased by the result as we have new tag team champions. All right, so then we get to the main event, which was one match I was really looking forward to coming into this, along with the X Division Championship. And that is the unification match, I guess we could call it. It's the Impact World Champion, Rich Swann, who has an actual legitimate belt that has been recognized by this company the entire time, versus the TNA Champion, Moose, in a unification match. So this belt hasn't been recognized. Moose has just sort of found it. I forget the backstory exactly, and has been carrying it around. And since he feels within his character that he is the uncrowned champion, so he's been carrying a belt that isn't really recognized. They sort of recognized it just before the week before this, and now they will unify the belts with this match. And the winner of this match, as an added stipulation, will face Kenny Omega of the AEW champion in the future. So this was I actually thought most of this was an excellent match. There were a few things that bothered me, but you had some amazing moves in this. You get a back body drop performed by Moose, where Rich Swann turns it into a 450, and before he lands flat on his face, which was pretty impressive. Moose, at one point, after Rich had dodged it at least once or twice, hits a really big Uranagi for a two count. And then he basically, this part was kind of strange. Moose goes and gets a chair, and he struggles to wedge it in one of the corners, to the point where I think I may have even seen an edit. I don't know when this was recorded. I don't think it was live, but it looked like he was struggling with the chair, and then there, boom, all of a sudden the chair was perfect. The referee makes the decision to leave the chair there. He stops Moose from using it or running Swann into it, but he leaves it there, which I thought was a little bit interesting. He could have easily grabbed it. But anyways, we end up, some parts throughout this that I didn't enjoy was Moose pulling on Rich Swann's hair. I just didn't understand it. There's other things he could have been doing that would be much more punishing to Rich Swann, but he went back to Swann's hair, I would say, at least three times. At one point, he was outside the ring and sort of pulling it through a barricade, and Swann is screaming and trying to sell it as best he can. And then basically, we're back in the ring at one point with Swann running the ropes and trying to take Moose down, but he just can't knock him off his feet. Eventually, Moose catches him and delivers a gutbuster. We then get a few crazy things going on. Basically, some struggle on top. Swann ends up hitting a Hurricanrana. A little bit later, Moose runs up the ropes in one corner and decides to jump off. It's hard to explain this, but Rich Swann heads in an opposite direction almost, and does his sort of handspring, comes off the ropes, and then right into a cutter, a sort of like a lethal injection, as Moose is mid-air jumping out of the corner. Swann hits him actually really nicely for a cutter after he does a handspring rebound off of the ropes. A really cool-looking spot. Still not my favorite spot of this match, because it's coming up. So a little bit later, Swann is sitting up top. I forget why or how. And Moose kind of reminded me of Kurt Angle, not quite as quick and as fluid, but he basically runs towards the corner, steps up the ropes, middle rope to the top rope, grabs Rich Swann and performs a fallaway slam moonsault from the top rope, which was pretty amazing. A very cool spot. I was telling my son if he's going to check something out from this, he should check that out probably. Very impressive. Moose is an amazing athlete, and now I think he's actually a strong professional wrestler as well. That was sort of the piece that was missing in the past with Moose, but I think he's ready. He is a talented fellow. So basically, the finish sort of comes when Moose is going for his flipping spear that he hits as a finisher. He misses it, twice, and then a third time he goes for it, and Swan moves, and Moose crashes into the chair that he had set up that the referee decided to leave there. And so Swan basically jumps over him and hooks him into a pinfall for the three count. And Rich Swan defeated Moose in, I think it was about a 20-minute match, to become the unified Impact World Champion. I really enjoyed most of this match. There were a couple things that bothered me. The repeated pulling of the hair was not my favorite. The chair being set up, the ref leaving it there, and it playing a role in the finish wasn't my favorite thing either. But other than that, this match was really good. These guys worked super hard. A really nice contrast in styles, right? You've got Rich Swan, who's small and fast and flipping off of everything. And then Moose, who's a lot of power, but he also is an undeniable athlete. He's fast, he's explosive, he's powerful. He looked really good as well. So this is the outcome I expected. I think we're going to get Rich Swan versus Kenny Omega. I assume Omega wins and is collecting all of these belts. Moose will definitely have his time, in my opinion. I guess it's just not right now. For me, if I'm booking Impact Wrestling, it's a lot of focus on Rich Swan, Quirce Bay, Ace Austin, Rohit Raju, Deonna Purrazzo, Fire and Flava. Those are my, and Jordan Grace. Those are the people that I would focus this company on. Less so focusing on former WWE guys like Myers and Cardona and stuff like that. I think they're great mid to upper mid card. But I think your main event stuff should be people, I mean should, could be people that are sort of best known being in your company. And I think that's, as I said on our flagship show this week, I think Impact, to get more ratings, their best target might be wrestling fans that aren't watching them. And if I'm a wrestling person not watching them, and I hear about these guys I don't know well putting on crazy matches, then maybe there's a chance I tune in and check it out, because I'm already a wrestling fan. I don't think you're going to draw people that don't watch wrestling. That seems a bit unrealistic to me, to think that you're just going to pull somebody in who doesn't already watch wrestling. But you could target wrestling fans who aren't watching Impact and get the word of mouth about these amazing matches coming from people that they haven't seen for decades already in another company. For me, that would be what would draw me in. I'm watching it already. Then you have to keep those people you get. So overall, this pay-per-view, I think that's what I'm calling it for lack of a better term. I forget what their actual name is for it. I didn't think it was bad. There was nothing that was awful. Obviously, I didn't love the Tennille match. I didn't love the Women's Championship match. But everything else was at least held my attention. And a couple things were really good. I thought the opener, for what it was, like an 8-minute sprint, was pretty fun. The X Division match was really good. The main event, the vast majority of it, was really good. And the tag team match, with a surprise sort of finish for me, was entertaining as well. So if I were to rate this pay-per-view, I would say I would have to give it a B, almost a B plus even, looking back at it. You know, it went by fairly quickly. It didn't really feel like it was dragging other than a couple matches. And overall, I would say it over-delivered, because I wasn't really looking forward to seeing this. And for me, a B rating means it's a solid pay-per-view. You're not wasting your time if you see it. Is there anything I would tell you to rush out and see? Yeah, maybe the main event and the X Division I would recommend seeing. So that's what makes it almost a B plus for me. I feel like I could recommend a couple matches from it. And yeah, overall, I wasn't really looking forward to it, and I can't say that I felt like I wasted my time. So I know that's not a ringing endorsement, but sometimes Impact things are not very interesting to me. So I thought this show did a pretty decent job overall. But anyways, I think that brings me pretty much to the end of this review. I hope you enjoyed it. I just figured I'd fire this out on a Sunday afternoon as the house was empty, get a little extra content up there. Again, I appreciate anyone, if anyone actually listens to this, I appreciate it. My son and I are just wrestling fans who end up having a lot of these conversations on our own time. And just during the pandemic, we needed something to do, something we could do together, something to switch it up. So we thought, why not start recording some of the things we talk about? So that's pretty much what we do. So hopefully, if you're not a regular listener of ours, you'll give us a chance. Check out one of our Saturday flagship shows. We're up to 34 episodes now, ranging from a couple hours to 3 hours on some weekends. So if you could give us a chance, give us some feedback, subscribe, like, follow, whatever it is you need to do. We appreciate it from anyone. And thanks for any time you gave me today. And we will see you back here for sure on Saturday, if not sooner, if we find something else to talk about. We might be back before then. But whenever it is, we'll see you then. And until then, take care.